This is iFaith Message 114, and I bring you greetings from Antioch, the Antioch of the Book of Acts, the first missionary journey, Antioch on the Orontes, which today is part of Turkey. Anyway, greetings from Syrian Antioch. Thank you for your perseverance through the series. Today's message is called Model Prophet. Ezekiel was not just a prophet, he was a priest. He is, according to one commentator, the most sophisticated of the prophets, undoubtedly because the early years of his ministry were devoted to sophisticated people, the elite of Jerusalem. He was high up in that hierarchy. He was called to be a prophet in 593 BC, and he continued to prophesy until at least 571. So, many years after the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. Basically, his messages before the fall of Jerusalem were oracles of doom and judgment and woe. But after 587, there's a change. His messages are more optimistic, more visionary. And in iFaith 115, we'll be looking at more of those prophecies. Today, though, we'll be looking at the challenges. I like to focus on chapters 4 and 12. Ezekiel's not a short book. It's not as long as Isaiah, and certainly not as long as Jeremiah, but it's got a lot of material in it. So in our second talk from Ezekiel, we'll look at the new heart. But today, I want to look at the model he created, and particularly in chapters 4 and 12. Please listen. Now, son of man, take a block of clay, put it in front of you, and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege to it. Erect siege works against it. Build a ramp up to it. Set up camps against it. And put battering rams around it. And then take an iron pan. Place it as an iron wall between you and the city. And turn your face toward it. It will be under siege and you will besiege it. This will be a sign to the people of Israel. It's a model of Jerusalem, carved in clay. And then there's an iron pan, which symbolizes that their prayers are not getting through to God. Even though they entreat him, he's given them over to judgment. In fact, flat mud bricks, which are baked into clay tablets, were used in home construction. It was very common material. But sometimes, while it was soft, the outline of the walls and major buildings, city plans, would be impressed into the wet clay, and it would harden. And a number of such models or plans have been discovered by archaeologists, so there's no doubt what this was. Ezekiel's engaging in striking symbolic acts continues the strange tradition represented by Isaiah, who walked barefoot and scantily clad for 3 years, as a sign against Egypt, Isaiah 20, and Jeremiah, who carried a wooden yoke around Jerusalem as a token that the residents should surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah 27:28. It's not difficult to see the political relevance of Ezekiel's own symbolic actions concerning the siege and fall of Jerusalem. So this is, the Babylonians are on the scene, they're on the world stage, and God will turn them over to the Babylonians. To put it more correctly, it's not the Babylonians who become Israel's enemy. It's God who becomes their enemy. Now, the prophets all communicate the message in numerous ways, interesting ways, creative ways. And we see amazing creativity and versatility in Ezekiel. Just going through the 48 chapters, here's what I come up with. We have the image of him being a watchman. He gets visions. He has prophecy. They're oracles. Visions like the divine chariot, the Jerusalem temple, prophesying against Jerusalem, against the mountains, against other nations, messianic prophecies. He eats a scroll. He is shut in and dumb. That is, he doesn't speak. We have this model with the map, and he's lying on his side for more than a year An amazing thing we'll come to in a moment. He tells parables. There are two parables of a vine. They're political parables with puzzles. He pretends to be a fleeing refugee. We'll look at this in a moment. An impoverished diet, eating while shaking and quaking. He has a special haircut and burns some of his hair. He does a dance of death and also a sword dance. There's a writing kit and marks put on people's faces or foreheads, the opposite of what we see in Revelation. They're proverbs that are reversed. There's a love story involving adultery. There's a tale of two cities, Samaria and Jerusalem. There's poetry. They're allegories like the lioness and the cubs or the allegory of the rusty pot. There's the death of his own wife, which contains a powerful lesson for Israel. In chapter 24, Tyre, a city-state to the north in Phoenicia, modern Lebanon, is compared to a ship that's going to sink like the Titanic. We have Eden. The story of Eden has been adapted. Egypt is portrayed as a crocodile. We have shepherds and sheep, Gog and Magog, a new temple, a new heart. I mean, if you're looking for imagery, if you're looking for multiple opportunities for the message to connect, Ezekiel did it all. He was versatile. He was creative. He was able to do this, to pull it off. And imagine lying on his left side. It says he would put the sin of Israel upon himself for 390 days. He's lying on his left side, looking at this model of Jerusalem. And for 40 days, he does this representing the sin of the people of Judah. So that's 430 days. I'm not sure that he was immobilized the whole time, although he was tied up with rope so he couldn't turn. But the point is that God is holy and he's giving up Judah just as he gave up Israel. I don't think it's necessarily again 24/7, but people would have seen what he was doing and they would have got the point. We read this also in chapter 4. Take wheat and barley. He's going to make special bread. Beans and lentils. It's a surprising passage. You should just read it on your own. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Millet and spelt. Put them in a storage jar. Use them to make bread for yourself. And you're going to eat it during the 390 days on your side. Son of man, I'm about to cut off, God says, I'm about to cut off the food supply in Jerusalem. And the people will eat rationed food in anxiety and drink rationed water in despair. For food and water will be scarce. They will be appalled at the sight of each other and will waste away because of their sin. In some supermarkets today, you can buy something that's called Ezekiel bread. It's based on Ezekiel 4:9, and supposedly this is very healthy. I don't know if it's healthy or not, but that is not what the passage is. This bread is just whatever people could find. If you were wealthy, you could eat wheat. Poor people had barley. But this is a mixture of just whatever is at hand, like spelt. Just throw it together, do your best. And Ezekiel was told to eat that bread, which I don't think was very nice, and drink water. So it's bread and water. And this shows the famine, the impoverished siege conditions. That is, while Jerusalem is encircled and attacked by the Babylonians who are starving out the citizens, people are eating very little and they just have to make do, even with this so-called Ezekiel bread. And imagine the people losing more and more weight, looking more and more thin, gaunt, skeletal. Now, did that not register? Did that not make people wonder, maybe God will turn us over to the Babylonians? Maybe judgment is serious and we should believe Ezekiel. Chapter 12. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, you're living among a rebellious people. Therefore, pack your belongings for exile. And in the daytime, as they watch, set out and go from where you are to another place. Perhaps they will understand, though they are rebellious people. During the daytime, while they watch, bring out your belongings packed for exile. Then in the evening, while they're watching, go out like those who go into exile. While they watch, dig through the wall and take your belongings out through it. Put them on your shoulder as they're watching. Carry them out at dusk. Cover your face so you cannot see the land, for I have made you a sign to the Israelites. So now he's acting like someone who's trying to sneak out of Jerusalem. He's a refugee. He's leaving. He's digging through the wall. He waits for it to get dark so he can't be discovered. More drama. God is just trying by every possible means to help his people to see that judgment is on the way. The Babylonians are for real. You're going to go into exile. There's hiding. There's shame. In fact, in the next passage, in 12:12, it even refers to, it's called the prince, but it's clearly speaking of the king of Jerusalem who will be trying to sneak out. And if you know the story, what happened when Zedekiah fled, the Babylonians caught him, and then they took him away, they executed his sons, and then they blinded him. It was a horrible end. And so we see in Ezekiel's ministry the power of illustration, not just stating abstract truth. You're not pleasing God, watch out. He's helping them to see what's going to happen. There's going to be a siege. This is the model, that's you. Here are the Babylonians coming around you. And here's this iron pan that's between me and you. So, you know, it's like the separation from God. We see the power of personal involvement. Ezekiel lives his message. He lives out his message. And I don't just mean he wasn't hypocritical. He was obedient. I mean, he lives it out dramatically. He acts. And this also shows us the certainty of judgment. We also see in chapter 12, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, tremble as you eat your food, shudder in fear as you drink your water. Say to the people of the land, this is what the sovereign Lord says about those living in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel, that will eat their food in anxiety and drink their water in despair, for their land will be stripped of everything in it because of the violence of all who live there. The inhabited towns will be laid waste and the land will become desolate. Then you'll know I'm the Lord. He's even supposed to shake and tremble. Maybe he was trembling anyway with that horrible diet, but he's shuddering. He's quaking. He's demonstrating, he's illustrating the fear, the lack of security, the anxiety that the people of Judah will experience. So we have the model, we have him, the exile, he's digging through the wall, he's packed a bag, he's not coming back, he's quivering when he eats. Now the point of this iFaith message is not, look how clever Ezekiel was, let's be clever also. The point is not, let's be creative, though that's good. The point is about knowing the true God. And God's people were living a lie. They were living in an illusion, believing that they could do whatever they wanted to do without consequences. And that is not what God promised them. God was very clear, for example, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, exactly what would happen if his people no longer followed him. Let's talk about application. Let's creatively share the gospel. And especially if you have Ezekiel-like talents. I remember times where instead of a sermon, I organized Parable Sunday. So those who could act, acted out a few parables. You know, there's so many ways to present the word, to get it across. Second, don't care too much what people think of you. If you're going to live as a Christian, you're going to feel embarrassed from time to time. A number of the things Ezekiel did were odd. No one else was doing them. They were strange. And people certainly talked about him, but he was obedient. He wasn't so concerned with his reputation that he disobeyed God. Next, let's teach the church. Let's teach the lost. Let's teach our children. Not dry principles, but in a colorful way. Don't be merely academic. Be personal. Think of the heart of Ezekiel. It reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 2:8, where it says that you were so dear to us. You know, we shared with the gospel of God with you, not just the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you've become so dear to us. Just as Paul loved the people he shared with, Ezekiel, the priest, the prophet, this incredibly creative and talented man, I think he truly cared. He truly cared for God's people, and that's why he was obedient. That's the heart of Ezekiel. Well, Ezekiel, model prophet. Next, Ezekiel and the promise of the new heart. Thank you for listening. God bless you.